Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and the first thing I want to do is wish you a very, very happy Thanksgiving. May the Lord meet you today. May He remind you of the Christian heritage of this nation, and may He fill your heart with gratitude. I'm so glad that you're with us on this Thursday, this Thanksgiving. Derek Prince is teaching us a wonderful series on being a patriot, on being a person who impacts others through generosity, through giving, through being part of a community. I love the fact that he has said a patriot is one who fulfills his allotted role in the nation in which God has placed him. There's just no better theme than that for today. And so let's listen as Derek tells us what a patriot truly is.
I want to turn first of all to the words of Jesus to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. This is what Jesus says: "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." So there Jesus is speaking to us Christians as his disciples. And he shows that we have a very special role in the earth. You are the salt of the earth. The language indicates we're the only salt. There isn't any other. Without us, the earth would have no salt. We are the salt, not some of the salt, but the salt. We have a unique function to fulfill. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? Let me suggest to you three significant functions of salt. This is by no means complete. It just gives us some idea of what's involved. The three functions I would suggest are, first, a disinfectant; second, to hold back corruption; and third, to give flavor, to make tasty. Let's look at the implications of those three functions of salt. Let's speak first of all about salt as a disinfectant. As a speaker and a preacher, I have to take care of my voice. I went to a ear, nose, and throat specialist some years back, and I asked him, what is the best thing I could do to keep my voice in good condition? He said, there's nothing better that you can do than gargle regularly. And I said, what with? And he said, just salt and warm water. That's so simple. It doesn't cost a lot, but it really has helped me tremendously. Why? Because salt is a disinfectant. It tends to keep disease away. It tends to prevent germs from settling in the throat and creating infection and inflammation. So that's what we are supposed to be. Wherever we are in the world, we're supposed to disinfect the atmosphere, to disinfect the society in which we move, the relationships of people with us and with others. We're supposed to keep away germs and infection, not, of course, primarily physically, but spiritually and morally. In other words, our presence should make a difference wherever we are in society. I'd like to illustrate this from a rather vivid experience of mine as a soldier in the British Army in World War II. I came to know the Lord in the army, and I had a very dramatic and powerful and total conversion from sin to righteousness. And as I've told people many times, God didn't then take me out of the army and say, this is too brutal and impure an atmosphere for you to live in as a Christian. I'll give you a nice different kind of uniform and put you in a college and you can be trained to be a preacher. God said to me, in effect, in the same place where you've done all the sinning, I want you now to lead a righteous life. I want the same people that saw you sin see you become righteous. And that was quite an assignment. By the grace of God, I have to say that for 4.5 years, I achieved that. The second function of salt is very similar. Perhaps you could even put it under the same heading. I don't know. But I've said that a function of salt is to hold back corruption. In the days before refrigeration was a familiar procedure, when sailors went on a long journey by sea and they wanted to preserve their meat, how did they do it? We all know they salted it. And that salt in the meat had the effect of slowing up or arresting the corruption of the meat. The corruption was already there. It couldn't basically change that, but it could arrest it and hold it in check. And that's true again of us. Our society is corrupt. The force of sin is at work all around us. That is something basic we cannot change, but we can hold it in check. As long as we're there, the meat should not decay. And so that again is a function we have. See, we cannot afford as Christians to retire from society and say it's so evil that there's nothing we can do about it and let the wicked go to hell. God is going to come and take me out of this wicked world. That's not really a positive attitude. Positive attitude is God has placed me here in this office, in this factory, wherever it may be. I'm to be a grain of salt. And while I'm here, corruption is not going to have free reign. I'm going to hold it in check by my presence, by the power of the Holy Spirit within me. Those evil demonic forces are going to be held in check. The third function of salt, which I mentioned, is to give flavor. Salt makes something that would otherwise be tasteless and unappetizing, tasteful and appetizing. For instance, when there's no taste in the white of an egg, but when we put a little salt with the egg, it becomes tasty. And that's another of our functions as salt. We have to give flavor to the place where we are, the town we live in, the community we belong to. This flavor is for God's sake. God has a different attitude toward the community where you and I live because of our presence. If we're doing our job, we should be the salt that makes that place flavorful and acceptable to God. God will deal with it differently because of our presence than he would if we were not there. A very clear example of this is the discussion between the Lord and Abraham about the fate of Sodom. The Lord had visited Abraham and he told him that he was on his way to see if Sodom was really as wicked as it was reported, and if so, he was going to destroy the place. And Abraham started to, as it were, bargain with God. And he said, God, suppose there were 50 righteous in the city, would you spare it? And the Lord said, yes, if they're 50 righteous, I'll spare it. And Abraham went on bargaining with God until he brought him down to 10. And he said, God, if there were only 10 righteous in the city, would you spare the city? And God said, if I find 10 righteous in the city, I'll spare the entire city for their sake. What were those 10 righteous persons? They were the grains of salt that would have made Sodom acceptable, that would have withheld the final judgment of God upon Sodom. Alas, there weren't 10 righteous persons. But the principle is there. 10 righteous persons can cause God to withhold judgment from a great city. I've made some investigations. I believe there were at least 10,000 persons in Sodom. So it was a proportion of 1 to 1,000. Suppose we apply that just in closing to the United States. There are just a little under 250 million people in the United States. If that proportion holds, then it takes 250,000, a quarter of a million righteous persons in this nation to withhold the final judgment of God on our wickedness. Do you think there are that number of persons? More important still, are you one of them? Are you functioning as a grain of salt where God has placed you?
Thank God for a teaching like this on Thanksgiving Day. What an amazing challenge to us to realize that we're called to patriotism, we're called to fulfill our destinies, and we're called to play a role in the nation in which God has placed us. There's so much more great stuff coming as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Each day's news brings us a stream of growing threats to our nation's future. Threats of terrorism on an unprecedented scale, a rising tide of hostility to traditional biblical values, anti-Semitism spreading like a cancer, moral decay and family disintegration. You may wonder, is there hope for America? The answer is a resounding yes. Yes. In his inspiring DVD, God's Heart for America, Derek Prince uses prophetic insight and his unique vantage point as an immigrant to offer spirit-led words of both encouragement and warning. In the process, he reveals the vital role you play in the destiny of a great nation. To order your copy of Derek's DVD, God's Heart for America, for only $9.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Watch this insightful DVD to be encouraged and forewarned. because the future of America lies squarely in your hands. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or purchase your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I'm delighted that you're here. We're listening on this Thanksgiving Day to a wonderful teaching by Derek Prince, in which he's talking about how we can live out our Christian lives as citizens, as patriots in America. And he talks to us specifically about delighting in the Lord and having a positive attitude that affects others in our lives, that it causes our prayers to be answered, that it ministers to those around us, that our decisions will be carried out, and we will be delivering others in hard situations as we are ourselves delivered. What powerful stuff it is. Let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us what it truly means to be a patriot.
Now, you may not immediately understand what I have in mind, and so to explain, I'm going to read a passage from the book of Job, chapter 33, verses 14 through 26, and you'll see that in this passage it speaks about a man who can serve as an interpreter. And it says he's one out of a thousand. This is what Job says. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. The theme there is that God speaks to men in certain ways, often through some tragedy, some disaster, some crisis. And man cannot understand unless there's someone there to help him understand what God is trying to say to him. And so the passage continues now as follows. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, that's God's uprightness, then he, that's God, is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom, or an atonement. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. You see, there's a man who desperately needs to hear from God. God is dealing with this man, maybe through sickness, through an illness that has brought him to the verge of death, to the gates of death, as it says. But this man can't understand what God is saying to him through the pressures, through the problems, through the disasters. It may be some other kind of disaster. It may be bereavement. It may be financial distress. We don't need to limit it to just one kind of crisis. But in this crisis, God is trying to speak to a man, but the man doesn't know how to hear from God. And so what that man needs is an interpreter, someone who can interpret for him what God is saying to him through his circumstances. And it says that such a person is very rare, one among a thousand. You see, an interpreter has to understand two languages. In this case, he has to understand God's language, the way God speaks. But he has to understand man's language so that he can communicate to man what God is trying to say. I've preached many times myself through an interpreter. I realize what it means. See, God speaks, but man doesn't understand God's language. And so man needs an interpreter. And I believe one of the functions of a true Christian patriot in his nation, in his society, in his community, is to be an interpreter. When disaster strikes, when problems arise, when a man is under tremendous pressure and he needs to know what God is saying to him, then it's the function of a Christian in that setting, in that situation, to be able to interpret to him, to say, well, God is warning you. Turn back from your wicked ways. Humble yourself. Repent. Seek God. God will forgive you. God will heal you. God will restore you. God will restore your family. But you've got to turn and you've got to meet God's conditions. And the interpreter is able to explain to such a person What are the conditions that God requires him to meet? God not only speaks to individuals through times of crisis and pressure and disaster, but he also speaks to whole communities and nations in many ways. Some ways are through climate and through weather. For instance, there's an example of this in the prophet Amos. Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, gives an example of God speaking, but Israel not being able to hear what God is saying. God says to his people, I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none, and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. You see, the essence of the message is God was speaking to his people, warning them of their sinfulness, their pride, their carnality, bringing disasters upon them, what we would call natural disasters. But they couldn't hear. They didn't realize that God was speaking to them. See, that such things are very often God speaking to people, but people need an interpreter to explain God's message and show them what's required. In the spring of 1981, there was a prolonged and serious drought in South Dakota around the area of Rapid City. There'd been about 2 years of drought. There was agricultural disaster, economic disaster. People didn't know what to do. And a young minister had the thought that God was speaking to the people of that state, and that it was his responsibility and the responsibility of the other ministers to interpret what God was saying to those people. So he met with some of the other ministers, and they called a public meeting in Rapid City to pray for rain. They held it in a public auditorium. On May the 10th, the whole of that community met, led by the ministers, to pray for rain. Within the next few months, more than 16 inches of rain fell in that area, which was more than the average annual rainfall. Also, a plague of grasshoppers which threatened the area was destroyed because of the timing of the rain. You see, there was one man in that city who was an interpreter. He didn't just wring his hands. He didn't complain. He said, God is speaking to us. We need to give heed to what God is saying. I believe that's the responsibility of a Christian patriot, to see when God is dealing with a nation or a community through what we would call natural disasters, or through inflation, or through maybe some kind of rapid spread of disease, some contagious disease that affects an area, to see this is God's hand, this is God's judgment. And if we'll repent and turn back to God, he'll lift his judgment. I believe that we need interpreters like that in this nation and other nations. I believe we need them in our media. I would there were men and women in the media that would be interpreters for God instead of just reporting news without any moral or spiritual overtones to them. So there's another way we can serve as patriots in our nation. We can be interpreters when God speaks.
Perfect teaching for what we hope is a perfect Thanksgiving in your life. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Each day's news brings us a stream of growing threats to our nation's future. Threats of terrorism on an unprecedented scale, a rising tide of hostility to traditional biblical values, anti-Semitism spreading like a cancer, moral decay and family disintegration. You may wonder, is there hope for America? The answer is a resounding yes. Yes. In his inspiring DVD, God's Heart for America, Derek Prince uses prophetic insight and his unique vantage point as an immigrant to offer spirit-led words of both encouragement and warning. In the process, he reveals the vital role you play in the destiny of a great nation. To order your copy of Derek's DVD, God's Heart for America, for only $9.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Watch this insightful DVD to be encouraged and forewarned, because the future of America lies squarely in your hands. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or purchase your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio on this Thanksgiving Day. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we've been listening to a marvelous teaching, perfect for this holiday, about the whole issue of what a patriot truly is, about what it means to live in community, about who we're meant to be as a people of Christian character. And you know, as we wind down the show today, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes and tell you a story that comes from the same pilgrims that Derek has been talking to us about this last week or two. The truth is that the pilgrims, the people we call the pilgrims who sailed on the Mayflower, were actually a congregation of people who lived in the northern part of England. Persecution came along, and so in 1608 they moved to Holland. And while they were there for 12 years until they came to the New World in 1620, they believed that their goal was to perfect holiness in the fear of God. They believed that God was refining them and shaping them and molding them in this Dutch city called Leiden, so that they could be a people useful in his hands. And when the time came for them to sail to the New World, because, as they said, they wanted to be a stepping stone of the light of Christ in the New World, they wanted to reach the Indians and introduce them to the Prince of Peace, their pastor said that had decided that he could not sail with them. So he stayed behind to tend the aging and the infirm and those who could not sail. But he stood on the docks in Holland, and as they were preparing to sail, he blessed them. And he preached a sermon that has come down to us through American history, in which he told them that if they would walk in the character of Jesus, they would lay the foundation for a new nation that could be a light to the world. Others, as we've shared in other shows, picked up that theme and began to expand it, began to talk to us about in sermons about being a city upon a hill. But I'm just moved by this pastor, who, by the way, his name was John Robinson, and he lifted his hands and he blessed this congregation of people, and he told them to be a people of righteous character and to live in community and to love each other, and that they would lay a foundation for a new land that would in turn then be a light to the world. That is the American dream. That is the American vision. The American dream is not just a house in the suburbs with two cars and 2.6 kids and a grill in the backyard. The American dream is about being a city upon a hill, a people who live in righteous community who then impact the nations of the world. And there's no better day to remember this than Thanksgiving. For it was on this day many, many, many years ago in 1621 when these same pilgrims had lived through a horrible winter in which half of them died and then had a good harvest that they decided to have a Thanksgiving in which to thank God for His grace. These were the same people who said they had sailed for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. And many of the truths that I'm telling you now, we learned from Derek Prince, who as an Englishman came to America and in the early 1960s, realized there was not sufficient prayer and intercession happening in America and began to mine these truths of American history and heritage. This is what we ought to be remembering today. I hope you're having a lot of food. I hope you're enjoying some great football and family time, the three F's. But you know what? I also hope that you're renewing our American heritage in your mind, passing it on to your children, and living in the power and the strength of that history as it commends us to be people of Christian character. May this be the best Thanksgiving you've ever had. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, happy Thanksgiving, and don't forget to join us tomorrow for another wonderful broadcast as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your own copy of Derek's DVD, God's Heart for America, for only $9.95 when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Thank you for your faithful financial support. It's because of friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is on the air. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or, in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can give your support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.